and settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Rolled out to my Chevrolet. I climbed out up inside. I pulled the choke and I turned the key, but the old girl wouldn't start. She let out a whine so pitiful it nearly broke my heart.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's 4 minutes after the hour. Oh, I just turned five. 5 minutes after the hour. 10 o'clock, good morning to you, and hope your weekend started off good. Hope it ends good. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers. And we're going to have fun this hour, no matter what you think, no matter what you say, we're having fun. We're going to start off with telling you that Kurtz Auto Repair is sponsoring this portion of Under the Hood. They have years of experience, domestic, imports, trucks, cars, gas, diesels, high riders, low riders, don't make any difference. Kurtz Auto is located at I-17 and Bell in Phoenix. They've been open since 1992, and they've been a member in good standing with the Better Business Bureau. So if you're anywhere near I-17 and Bell and you don't have a repair shop that you trust, then please give Kurtz Auto a try, and you'll understand why I recommend Kurtz Auto. All right, many of you know I'm a storyteller, so I'm going to tell you a story. A friend of mine, Dan Burr, is a cowboy. He is the kind of friend everybody wants. Honest, dependable, tough, common sense, respectful, integrity, everything. He brings his truck into the shop, and this is what it says. The steering is getting hung up, and when I turn my truck, it feels like the wheels are getting stuck. Customer says it seems like the tires are hitting the fender well, but they really aren't. Sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? Remember, buddy of mine, cowboy, tough guy, smart. Here's what, now, in our world, we write down what you say, and then we write down what we're saying in answer to it. Dear Dan, we found out that the vehicle is in four-wheel drive, which is causing these issues. And the fluid in the front differential that you think is a shock leaking is actually coming out of the vent hose because you're driving the vehicle in four-wheel drive at highway speeds, which is causing the front differential to vent transmission fluid. So what we did for you is we rinsed off the oil so you don't need a shock no more. We put the vehicle in two-wheel drive. We went out and tested it. Everything's okay. Now, in an effort not to rub salt in the wounds, it says, test drive and inspect steering binding fluid all over the left front, no charge. So, it just goes to show you that men are not immune. He's going to kill me. I don't even care. Alrighty, so you think your car, I have a list here of all the vehicles for the last, 3, 4, 5 years in sales. And this is, how many cars on the road are this kind of branch? For instance, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 5 makes that equal double-digit percentages. Double-digit means from 9 and higher, okay? Because 9% is a single digit. So we're going to start off with, there are 20 cars out of 100 are GM, 16 are Toyota, 15 are Ford, Chrysler's got 12, and Honda's got 10. Those are the big 5. And sometimes people will ask me about somebody who is at the bottom of this list, and I explain to them that typically parts are a little bit more expensive. Typically finding somebody to work on the very difficult things may be a little tougher just because we're talking mainstream. All right, now let's go to the second third of cars. These cars are all single digit on the road. Nissan, 7%. Hyundai, 3.6. Kia, 2%. Mazda, 2%. Beamer, 2%. Mercedes-Benz, 1.7. That means 1.7 out of every 100 cars on the road are Mercedes-Benz, and then 1.6 on Subaru. So I haven't touched your car yet. That's because these are cars that do not even represent 1% of the new vehicles on the road. Now, we're going to start with 0.7, and we're going to talk about Audi, Mitsubishi, Volvo, and Suzuki. Then we're going to go down from there to Mini Cooper, Land Rover, Porsche, Saab, and Jaguar. And then we have four cars that don't even register in registrations, which means they aren't even 0.1%, which is, and you can guess who they are, Maserati, Bentley, Ferrari, and Rolls-Royce. So I understand that there's parts of the country that are very happy with Subaru that represents 1.6 cars on the road today. I just suggest to you that you might want to stick with a mainstream car, kind of like you probably stick with a mainstream washer and dryer and refrigerator and stuff, because it might be kind of tough to get them fixed and it might cost you a little bit more. That's all I'm suggesting. No harm, no foul. Okay, nitrogen. When I talk about nitrogen, I take lots of arrows, and that's okay. I don't care. Nitrogen was originally used in NASCAR because it's a non-flammable gas. It won't contribute to a fire. And in airplanes. NASCAR goes 200 miles an hour, and airplanes weigh 300 tons or 30 tons, somewhere between 30 and 300 tons. All right, so there's a big difference between the car sitting in your driveway. Okay, they say Michelin, BF Goodrich, Uniroyal, and a lot of other tires will warranty our products if you use nitrogen. Goodyear supports the use of nitrogen. Now, the benefits are this way. People want to sell you nitrogen for your tires. Many of them do it for free. There's lots of dealers here in town that do it for free, and I applaud them. Good. It's a comfort zone for some people. But to pay $60, $70, $80 to have nitrogen in your tires before you do that, hear me out. They say nitrogen doesn't allow moisture. I agree. But you have to ask me a question. Mark, how many tires have you sold in the last 30 years? And I'd say hundreds of thousands. How many have you dismounted? Hundreds of thousands. Have you ever found a problem in Phoenix with moisture inside the tire? And the answer is no. So if you're really worried about water inside your tire, keep in mind now the tire is going to run somewhere around, I don't know, 150 to 200 degrees. And how's the water going to get in there? So if you're worried about moisture in your tires, fine. Now, they also suggest that the tire leaks less nitrogen than it does normally compressed air. I agree with that too. But here's what I'm struggling with. Please be advised that even the use of nitrogen as an inflation gas, you must continue regular inflation pressure checks, and they are highly recommended. Okay, so if we don't have a moisture issue, strike one. If you still have to check your tires the same amount according to the people that make the tires, strike two. And unless you're hauling your mother-in-law around and she weighs a whole lot, and unless you're driving your car 200 miles an hour, I think that's strike three and four. But when you go through this stuff, it's pretty funny. Because Ford, now, I got to tell you something. I worked as a technical advisor for Ford and their consumer arbitration board. I've only owned one Ford in my life. I wear Chevrolet underwear. I don't care. I weigh. But Ford is just the ultimate when it comes to wisdom. Ford says, as to purity, Ford studies in the enclosed states said that there is 96% nitrogen is the level that the maximum benefit is achieved. And I want to say, no, duh, Sherlock. 96% is the maximum benefit is achieved, and here's why. Because nobody can do better than 96%. We would have to suck your tire flat. Just like when you stick your vacuum cleaner in a Ziploc bag, you know how you suck it flat? We'd have to suck your tire flat and then put nitrogen in. Plus, the machine we're using is incapable of creating anything better than 96%. So Ford says 96% is the best maximum achieved benefit. I say BS. I say that's all you can get. Ford knows that, and they probably sell the nitrogen like everybody else does. So you can excuse me for ranting and raving. Okay, please. All right, what else have we got here? Oh, phone number. If you want to call in and argue with me, now's the time. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. On behalf of the marketing team here at KKNT and everybody else in my whole life, which includes my wife's and my daughters, my kids, would you go to Facebook if you're a Facebook fan? Would you like Mark Salem? Or would you like Salem Boys Auto? Would you please? I'm supposed to ask you that. I'm just asking you. I'm kind of begging you. If you go to the Best Car Guy, then you'll find me on Facebook, or you can just go Mark Salem, Arizona. And then our shop is tied to Mark Salem, and if you'd go there and like me, then my wife and my daughters would get off my back. Today, great story. I'm driving down the road. I'm on my way to the tack store to get some feed for my horses. And as I'm sitting at a traffic light, there's two cars side by side at the Quick Trip, and there's a man and a woman, and the hoods are up. And they're clearly confused. But I don't have time to help them. So I go to the feed store, get my stuff. I'm on my way back. I go by this place, and they're still there. Well, in spite of what you may have heard, I'm a nice guy. So I pull in, I park, and I said, can I help you? And the lady says, do you know how to jumpstart a car? And I said, yes, ma'am, I do. So I said, and just at the same time, the gentleman takes the two clamps. He's got them hooked to the car that's running, and he's getting ready to touch them together to see if he has electricity. I back up about five steps, and I yell, don't do that. Well, this lady just about jumps out of her Levi's. He says, what? I said, please don't do that. Please. I said, that's going to wipe out her regulator right here. So don't, let's not. Give me those clamps. So I hook him up to her car. I hook him up to his car. And he goes, well, we can't get a good connection. And I says, well, I'm going to get you a good connection. I said, turn on your headlights. So he turned on his headlights, and he didn't have any. So I'm wiggling around on this positive stud, and it's all dirty. And I thought, I don't need to go there. I'm going to go to the battery. So I go to the battery. I get headlights. So I say, hit the key, and it goes click, click, click. And I take the hammer out. I say, do you have a hammer? He goes, no. I get the key. Meanwhile, the lady is, she is... Oh, she is jabbering. My dad always said to put it where there's no paint. You have it where it's paint. Ma'am, it's okay, really. I want to know why you're hitting the starter. What are you hitting with that hammer? I said, ma'am, I'm just hitting the starter. I'm going to activate your starter for you. Because right now with solenoid's the only one working. So we go through this whole gyration. We finally get it running. Well, and the lady is yapping. And the guy looks at me and he rolls his eyes. Now, it's men talk at this point, okay? He rolls his eyes. He looks at me. And I'll tell you what he says right after the break. 602-508-0960.
You can get stereo tape and a color TV. Get a backseat bar and reclining seats. And just pay once a month like you do your rent. Well, I figured it up, and over a period of time, this $4,000 car of mine cost $14,000.99.
And 99 cents. My name's Mark Salem. I'm your host right here on Under the Hood. Every Saturday morning, 10 o'clock, we're here at your service. Having your car question, your car problem, now's the time to call in if you'd like to. The lines are wide open, 602-508-0960 if you have a car question or car problem, or if you have a car anything to do with a question. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. They're located on the south side of Main Street, just east of Stapley in Mesa. Main and Stapley, just east and south. Thompson's been in business since 1970. They're equipped to handle anything you need. Cars, trucks, gas, diesels, anything. They can handle minor and major repairs on all kinds of cars and trucks. So from oil changes all the way to engine swaps. They're a AAA approved shop. They're an ASC certified Blue Seal shop, which means he's in the top 10% of his bracket nationwide. Brian Thompson is also on the TechNet Council, which helps control and helps come up with industry standards. Thompson's Auto has been named the Business of the Year in 2009 by the Mesa Chamber of Commerce, and I'm proud to have Brian and Thelma, who own Thompson's Auto Repair, on our list of the best car repair shops. Okay, so I stop and help this man and this woman. I don't even know if they're married, frankly, but I'm helping them jumpstart their car. So the first thing I noticed is to recap a little bit, is when they got the cables on the car, the other car, you know, they hit the key and nothing happens. But folks, we need to turn the headlights on, because the headlights will be yellow or non-existent, and when we get a good connection on both ends of the cable, then the headlights get white and bright. Bingo! It's just like a big horn that sounds. It says, you got it. One of the things you want to do is on the negative cable, you want to stay to bare metal. And the lady was right about that. You don't want painted metal. And you want it to be, and I was using the alternator bracket on both of these cars, because if there's a spark, you don't want it close to the battery, because the battery can gas. And if the spark ignites the gas, you're going to remember
caller
that explosion.
JT.
You're going to remember that explosion for a couple of days, because your ears are going to be ringing if you're not covered with acid. God forbid. So anyway, when I left there, they were sitting there, and I kept saying to the guy, turn your headlights off. We're gonna need to charge this battery up a little. He goes, it's off. So I get inside, and he has the headlights set to auto, and I explained to him, no, the off position is over here. Now, really, you should sit in this other car and rev the motor up to, 1,500 RPMs. And I got it to stop clicking and half cranking by just tapping the solenoid with a hammer. And so I think I left them in good shape. And when I leave here, I'll go by. And if they're still there, I'll help them again. But I'm pretty sure they're gone by now. All righty. JT, I'm going to get to you, but I want to talk one more thing. If you have a Ford Escape and it's ever been recalled for a throttle cable replacement, do not use your cruise control until it's checked out by someone who knows why. Ford recalled a bunch of throttle cables, and on those cars, the process used to change the throttle cable could have damaged the cruise control cable. And that could and has before caused the throttle to stick, because the cruise control cable will hang up underneath the engine cover and people have no control of their throttle. There's a little girl in Payson, I think, that passed away in a car wreck because of this exact same thing. I have had the opportunity to look at the car. So if your Escape was recalled for throttle cable, do not use your cruise control until somebody has the opportunity to look at the cable. Where the cable on the cruise control attaches to the throttle blades, there's a straw. And that straw should be fastened to the end of the throttle cable that attaches to the throttle blades. If it's broken there, that's the beginning of the risk, and the risk is huge. So don't use your throttle cable or cruise control if you fit into, first of all, the only parameter I'm giving you is if your throttle cable has ever been recalled, do not use your cruise until somebody has a chance to look it over. JT, how can I help you, buddy?
Helpful hints today. Thank you. You were discussing nitrogen a moment ago.
Uh-huh.
What I've heard in the past is that nitrogen does not expand under heat conditions out here on the highways as much as just a regular air mix. Is that something you factored in your look at the subject?
Yes, and let me give you an example. It is well known that when your tire on your car, your truck, gets to about 200 degrees or climbs over 200 degrees Fahrenheit, you're in big trouble. There is nothing nitrogen can do for you under those. But let's look at a jetliner and let's look at a NASCAR. When those guys are doing 200 miles an hour, everybody that watches NASCAR knows that the number one thing everyone talks about is the tires. Oh, they're going to add a half a pound. They're going to subtract a half a pound. They're going to put a little bit more stagger on the left front. They're going to raise up that right rear to put a little bit more pressure on the left front. It's all about tires.
Balance act.
Exactly. And so when you're doing 110 to 200 miles an hour, then how much the air or nitrogen inside the tire expands and contracts should be controllable and readable. So because nitrogen is more stable than compressed air, that's a good application. But JT, does your wife drive 200 miles an hour?
Only when she's commuting.
Yeah, and same with mine. Or she's late for a fingernail appointment or a hair appointment. That's the only
thing. Yeah.
So, I think it's great that they use those as examples, but those examples aren't applicable to the people in Ahwatukee and the people in Sun City. They're not.
Well, just trying to look for something that's applicable to this town. We're on the top of the charts when it comes to not being able to fly planes because it's too hot. lot, you know.
Yeah. That's a good example. And that's where nitrogen really came in the airlines, because when they'd come in, the steering gear would collapse and we had spark. We'd have something catch fire, and that the compressed gas in the tire would feed the fire. And because nitrogen is non-flammable, they eliminated the continuation of the fire. And I got that from a lot of old guys that came out of World War II.
Not a catalyst. Well, thank you for airing the subject. It was amazingly interesting. I just did all my cars with nitrogen here last weekend.
You know what I'll do for you? What part of town do you live in?
People's Republic of Mesa.
Okay. If you're ever by Warner and I-10, if you look up my shop, we have a device that we can check the percentage of nitrogen in your tires.
All right. I appreciate you, Robert.
And if you stop by here, if I'm not here, ask for Eddie. He's my right hand, my left hand, he's my other half of my head. And Eddie knows where it's at. It's upstairs in the technical room, and he'll get it. And just check them, just so that you kind of know. I also would be interested, because I think that you're ultimately going to be moved from 80% to about 93%. Because the air we breathe is 80.
I did have one other thought when you were discussing this earlier about the water in the tires.
Uh-huh.
I have been at stations and the separator is not working on the compressor. And it's spraying. It is spraying water and compressed air out of that hose. So that may be the way we get water in the desert.
And you're exactly right. That's the primary way we get water in the tires. But here's what's not happening. The water's not rusting the wheel, which means the tire can't come off because the beads are rusted to the wheel, which necessitates us cutting the tire off, and then we have to glass bead the wheel and repaint it and then put the tire back on that wheel or check it for thickness. All of those things aren't happening. I do not dispute that, in fact, there's a necessary water. We'll be back.
USA Today reports that...
Most Friday nights, I can be found in the bed of my truck on an old Chase Lounge.
We've got open lines available if you have a car question. I think I can do a good job for you. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I've been a master technician for 25 years. We own a repair shop. And where it's at and who it is not important, because my interest is you. I'm not here to market myself to you. I'm here for you. I want to answer questions, and as you, if you listen very long, you'll know that I'm not shy about calling it the way it is. I'll give you a good example. Groupon is a company that sells coupons. This has been something that's been discussed in the automotive industry quite a bit, and restaurant business, and all kinds of places. But here's my feelings on that type of marketing. Otherwise, let's say that you buy a book, and it's going to give you $200 worth of automotive services, but you're only going to spend $49 for the book. Well, historically, the overwhelming majority of that $49 is kept by the marketing company. So now, I've got 100 coupons, or I've got 1,000 coupons or more out there, of which I owe those people $200 worth of car repair, and I got $10 of the $50 that they paid. Put yourself in my position. I have to upsell you. I have to bring you in, and hopefully I've done a good job of that. I bring you in, and you get 3 free oil changes, and then you get a tire rotation. I have to sell you something. I can't do all that free work. So my only advice is before you, if you choose to buy those, it's okay with me. It's your money. But I want you to practice this. I want you to say this 5 times before you get out of your car at the repair shop. And this, I'm talking about auto repair. I don't care about restaurants. I want you to say, "That's interesting. Would you write that down on my repair ticket? But thank you, no. Right now, it would be no. No, well, thank you for telling me that. But if you'd write it down on my repair ticket along with the estimate, I'd appreciate that. But today, no." That's what you have to practice. You just have to practice that you're talking to someone who has an agenda. And it's just like I was telling you about the friend of mine that brought his truck in was convinced that the right front shock absorber was leaking real bad. It wasn't the shock that was leaking, although it was all wet. It was the differential was leaking because it was stuck in four-wheel drive. So once we stopped the four-wheel drive, then the vent in the differential stopped puking fluid out, and we washed off the oil, and it's okay. And just the other day, a gentleman called me, and he emailed me, and he said, "Mark, I just got an estimate for $500 worth of shock absorbers, and I'm interested in getting a second opinion." And I said, "Well, just go to marksalem.com, go to the pest car repair shops, and then it asks you if you want mechanical, transmission, paint and body, what you want. Then click on your city and those surrounding your city. And then take it to the shop." And he writes me back and he goes, "I can't believe how nice these guys were. They brought me in, they let me come into the shop, they raised it up, they pointed out what the other shop had told me. Bottom line is I left there with no shocks and feeling a whole lot better." Because they said that while maybe the mileage on the car suggests that you need shocks, the tires don't. You're not complaining about anything that's directly related to two bad shock absorbers. Your tires aren't complaining about anything. And we don't see anything physically that would condemn your shock absorbers. So thank you for stopping by. But our vote would be no. See, that's the difference. Now, when you speak about difference, 602-508-0960. If you have a car question or car problem, 602-508-0960. Let me read something to you. When it comes to, there's lots of referral networks out there, okay? There's AAA, tells you where to go to have your car serviced. Angie's List does too. Dex, To Fix It, Yelp, GarageFly, Great Garage, Kudzu, NARPRO, Your Auto Network. They all say, they're all the same. None of them have been around since 1988 like I have. But this is what they say on their websites. It says, "You use these sites at your own risk." One of them says, "You use links to third-party sites." That's me. I mean, my garage. "At your own risk." One of them says, "We do not guarantee the services, repairs, or products these people provide." Did you hear that? Great Garage says, "We've done our best to find top auto repair shops, but we do not guarantee the services, repairs, or products they survive." You know what I say on mine? It's pretty simple. If you have a, this is signed on my name. "If you have a problem with one of my best shops and the BBB agrees with your version and the shop refuses to abide by the BBB decision, I will personally repair your car or I personally will issue you a refund up to $5,000. Up to I'm covering transmissions. I'm covering almost every air conditioning unit situation. I'm covering big repairs. And you say, "Mark, how many of those have you paid in the last 5 years, 10 years? And the answer is zero. First of all, we've never even been to arbitration. I'll tell you more when we come back right after this.
Kelt pre-loss condition with 100% accuracy. Raintree Auto provides free estimates and they'll give you a lifetime...
An automobile, the metal monster with the polyglass wheels, the end result of the dream of Henry Ford.
Well, we're back. Hey, everybody. My name's Mark Salem, and I'm here to help you with your car questions or your car problems. I'll be to Charlotte and Tony in just a second. Let me just clean up some stuff I've got here. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Larry Harker's Auto Repair. They're a full-service, family-owned operation. If you live anywhere near 38th Avenue and Indian School, and really, let me give you some boundaries. Indian School to the north, I-17 to the south, and from, Central or 7th Avenue, or I-17. Let's go I-17 west to the 101. So between 101 and I-17... between Indian School and South, then they are the guys that hold that area down because they're the best around. Larry Harker's, 38th Avenue and Indian School. They're a trusted name. If you live anywhere near 38th Avenue and Indian School and you don't have a repair shop, stop by and visit with Bob and Ellen Frisbee at Larry Harker's Auto. They're on my list. Speaking of my list real quick, nobody on any of these lists that service Arizona is a shop owner. Nobody knows anything about running an auto repair shop. Nobody's an automotive expert. Nobody's certified as a mediator or an arbitrator, and nobody's a master tech. But they're all going to tell you where to take your cars. Here's the bellwether. Here's what you look for from somebody like me that's referring you to somewhere else. How many of you kicked off, Mark? The answer's two. Has anybody ever been kicked off for other than not paying dues? No. There's been two that have been kicked off. for ethical issues. They violated my ethics. They violated what I thought was right and wrong. Go to MarkSalem.com. Read about them. I don't care. The bottom line is people, I think most people know I'm a straight shooter. They also know I'm a little ornery, but that's just the way it is. So let's go back to the phones and talk with Charlotte. Charlotte, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Yes, hi, Mark. I have a 96 Toyota Camry Coupe. The passenger side window has fallen into the door. That happened with the passenger or the driver's side a number of years back.
Okay.
What my question is, I don't want to spend the money to repair it because it's quite expensive. It's almost $400. And I was wondering if I could disengage that window and keep it closed.
Yes. Yes.
I can?
Yeah. Let me give you the answer. First of all, I think you should shop that $400. Okay? If that $400 changed by $80, would you feel any different?
Not much.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. You answered my question. Here's the deal. Somebody has to pull the door panel off. And so you're going to hire somebody to pull the door panel off and then take the regulator that's clearly broken and put that window back up and then just put a screw in there. Pssst, and hold the window up and at the same time disconnect the motor so nobody can hit the switch. So we're going to unplug the motor, put a screw in the regulator, put a piece of wood in the regulator, whatever, duct tape the regulator up, get the window up, but don't put the door panel back on. Because that's all the labor. You're going to pay half the labor to get it up, and I don't want you to put the door panel back on. I want you to put it in your trunk. Because when you get the window fixed, they don't have to take it back off again. So it'll save you money. It won't be the prettiest back seat in the world, but unless you're carrying around Warren Buffett in the back seat, then who cares?
Well, I would.
Okay.
It's
$100 on and off. At least $100 on and off. So if you go in and you say, hey, I want you to take the door panel off, bring the regulator up, screw it up, do what you got to do to get the window to close, disconnect the motor, that's an important cord, and then put the regulator back on, it could cost you $130, $140. Because you got on and off with the door panel, and then you got to get the regulator up and somehow secure it in the up position.
Okay.
See my point?
But
you know what? This is easy. Do you know exactly what they bid for $400?
To the driver's side?
Yeah.
Just what you described, the regulator and all that, yeah.
Well, you're assuming that you need a regulator. You don't really don't know. And when they pull it off, then they can give you an estimate. Because what happens if a rivet has broke, and we all know that if the rivet breaks, so what? I'm going to raise that regulator. I'm going to drill a hole. I'm going to drill the rivet out. I'm going to bring the arm from the motor up. I'm going to put a bolt in there. I'm going to double put two nuts on it so it acts like a hinge, and then I'm going to put the door panel up and say, you know what? I fixed it for you for $150.
Oh, interesting.
So you'll have the opportunity, but here's when you get an estimate. This is for everybody. The other day, guy comes into my shop and says, you know, what's wrong with my car? And I call him back and I say, it's $1,100, and here's what $1,100 covers. That's out-the-door price for a fuel pump, the labor, the diagnostic, the filter, and the labor. He says, well, the guy down the street will do it for $968. And I said, what's he bidding for $968? He goes, the fuel pump and labor. I said, well, if you just add the fuel pump and labor, I'm $962. But he hasn't diagnosed it, and I've got $85 in there for a fuel pressure test. I've got sales tax. I got shop supplies. I got environmental charges. And I got a filter and the labor to put the filter on. He doesn't have in his bid.
Mm-hmm.
You see my point? So when you get an estimate, how much do I have to write my check for, and tell me specifically what parts and what labor you're going after?
Oh, good. Okay.
All right. Good luck to you, Charlotte.
That helps. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, ma'am. Bye-bye. Tony, you're up next, buddy.
Good morning. I'll bet you've never heard of this one before.
Okay.
I have a 95 Buick, and the air, I found out this summer, I didn't check it last summer, but it blows from the defrost. When I put it on, it comes through the top inside windshield and then at the bottom where the air, where the heat comes out in the wintertime. Everything else, it works on the air conditioning. But on the defrost, it blows cold, top and bottom.
All right. Now, how much are you willing to bet?
You've heard it before.
Well,
breakfast, maybe. I remember you, and you used to be down in Campbell here in 7th Avenue.
No, don't. That was a Salem. You're right. Unrelated to me. My family is the owner of the radio station here, Salem Communications.
Okay.
And if you believe that, then I got some land I want to sell. Okay. The fact of the matter is here's what's going on. Do you have automatic temperature control in your Buick where you set the temperature?
No.
Good. Good, good, good. There is a door. I want you to picture a Y in front of you. The left arm and the right arm coming down at an angle, and they meet the tree trunk, and then it goes south. You got me?
Uh-huh.
I got a door in the middle of that Y, and the left branch is cold air, and the right branch is hot air. And so I got a door, and so when I want cold air, I shut the hot off, and when I want hot, I shut the cold off. That's called the blend door. I also have another door that diverts the air top, middle, and bottom. Yours isn't working. Now, I've fixed this 1,000 times. There could be a vacuum line that's broke off the motor that feeds the firewall that feeds that motor that gives you defrost center vent and floor. Piece of cake. Just got to find it and fix it. It could be the mode switch, the switch that goes off, max, normal, defrost, blah, blah, blah. That's a $9 switch, but it's going to cost you about $65 or more to dig it out of the dash.
Well, I was figuring that because the only reason I started checking that with the motor, because I was kind of suspicious maybe the fan motor wasn't coming on, but it comes on when the air's on, and it should within 5 or 10 seconds immediately. And then I pushed it over to the defrost. I checked every one of those, and that's where I started feeling the cold air coming in. So I thought it could be the push-button switches there on the for that little switch there where you push it.
Well, it could be. And really, you know, there's guys out there like myself, the guys with a little bit of gray hair, seasoned, you know what I'm saying? Seasoned. Well, you know, if Mrs. Jones comes in and she's one of our oldest customers, and we love her like we do our mother, and this happens to her, I'm probably going to crawl underneath there with a coat hanger, and I'm going to grab a hold of that arm if I can get to it with my fat fingers. And I'm going to pull that arm down, and I'm going to hook that coat hanger around the nearest wire harness, and I'm going to say, Ms. Jones, this is going to be fine till wintertime, and when you need defrost, come on back, and I'm going to fix and give you defrost.
And
now, I'm going to first, though, go in and make sure it's not something really simple. You have to have a vacuum supply to the dashboard, and I tell you what, half the time, we lose the vacuum supply to the dashboard, and then it defaults into defrost and floor. And all we have to do is fix the vacuum leak. Now, sometimes, depending on how many miles that Buick's got on it, the port that provides vacuum gets plugged up with carbon at 100,000 and higher. So if that port's dirty and plugged up with carbon, you pull the line off and you don't hear the familiar sssst. The motor's running. I'm going to take a little drill. Plug the line back on, slam the hood, and say that'll be $4,000, Tony.
Okay, are you talking about the port on the engine?
Yeah, it's going to be a vacuum port. Just go to the firewall of your Buick and find a don't get a water line. Don't get one of those water lines that feed your windshield washers. There's going to be a vacuum line that goes through the firewall.
It'll be about a quarter inch in diameter. Yeah, I'm going to guess.
Be pretty small.
Uh-huh.
It ain't going to be a big one where your little finger fits inside of it. So
look,
it's going to be smaller. It's going to be the size of a pencil or smaller.
Okay, now getting one last question. Getting into that little, because there's probably like a little metal circular wire that hooks onto a point, and that's what opened that door up and down. You're talking about just crawling underneath there and looking there, because I know what you mean.
Yeah.
And it just see if they make sure that door is stuck open.
You want to do it gently, okay?
Uh-huh.
But there's a lot of doors underneath there, and it could be a wire with a round piece on the end where the wire's round, and it's on the arm, but it could also be a vacuum-operated door.
Uh-huh.
And next caller, Randy.
Vacuum pod, and we apply vacuum to pull the door to us, and then we release the vacuum to push the door away from us.
Yeah, and I thought it could be the vacuum too, and that's a pain in the butt to get in there and check. Yeah. But I'll do it.
Okay, good luck.
Thank you,
sir. You betcha. And who was that?
That was Randy.
Randy, go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, hi, Mark. Thanks for taking my call. Real easy for you. I have an 05 RAV and 40,000 miles, and every time I come to a red light, I throw it into neutral, and then when it's time to go, it's back into drive.
Okay.
Any problem with doing that?
I can smell this coming a mile away. This has nothing to do. This is an argument between you and your brother, you and your wife, you and your kids, and you want me to settle it. And I want to know first, if it's against your wife, I'm siding with her, whatever she says.
I know you're on the lady's side. I know this.
I'm always, hey, it's the path of least resistance.
You're right, but listen, I heard this in Motor Trend maybe 3 decades ago, that thrown into neutral, there's less, the car's not trying to go while you stop holding the brake if it's in drive, and consequently, you might use a little less gas, but my concern is any problem with the wear and tear on the trans.
No. Your concern is yeah, you are exercising linkage that can wear out. Doesn't normally, but can wear out.
Okay.
If you want to get the gasoline equivalent of the savings you're going to have would be the same as if you lost 10 pounds. Okay?
Okay.
To be honest, perfectly honest with you, I don't think that's a good idea for one reason and one reason only. It's okay with me if you do it. And there's not going to be any harm. Your transmission is going to fail long before the linkage does.
Okay.
But here's what bothers me. You're at the intersection, and your foot's on the brake, and you're in neutral, and all of a sudden this hell of a collision happens right in front of you, and you got something coming at you, and that right lane's open. Otherwise, you'd let go of the brake, you'd turn the steering wheel really hard, and you'd go to the right.
Yeah.
And you can't do that.
Right.
And so that's the only thing. I don't think you're prepared for something that can occur at the intersection. Maybe there's a heck of an accident in front of you, and there's nobody behind me, and you want to throw it in reverse and go back.
Yeah,
But to answer your question, no harm in the transmission. No harm in the fluid. You're not going to get any kind of fuel economy. Leave your wallet at home. If you want more fuel economy, leave the spare tire at home. But that's the equivalent. But I'm siding with her no matter what anyway.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
Alrighty, thank you.
And you were right the first time. It is my wife's complaint.
I can smell those, Tony.
You knew it.
I can smell those. I've been doing this for 25 years. I can smell the arguments, buddy. Thank you, Tony. Thank you very much.
Thanks, buddy.
Alrighty. Last but not least, if you ever need a body shop, I want to recommend Phoenix Body Works. Greg May, a personal friend of mine and the owner, will be your advocate. If you have an insurance claim, they're hassle-free, they're insurance company-friendly. They know how to work with insurance companies, and they're going to make sure your car is put back the way it was, right time, on time, at affordable price with quality parts. Again, right time, on time, affordable price and quality parts. It's important to repair your vehicle to a pre-accident condition, and you need the body shop to be on your side. You need the body shop to make sure you're treated fairly. And that's what Phoenix Body Works does. 19th Avenue, half block north of Deer Valley, Monday through Friday, and a half a day on Saturday. And you can't do better than Phoenix Body Works. Greg May is an honest guy, and he is a friend you need if you have a car wreck or if you need some paint work. Until then, first of all, happy Father's Day to all you fathers. And I'll tell you what my dad said. He said, son, I only want you to be slightly better father to your kids than I was to you. And I think that's a good idea. God bless you. Please wear your seat belts. Please don't.